place of expectation, because all through the Bible, when they, these are not mine. I look pretty good in them. But all through the Bible, expectation, the word don't say that expectation brings a manifest. I came up with that, I guess, or God, the Holy Spirit did, quickened to me. But I begin to look all through the Bible. I mean, all the way when they were in Egypt, God sent Moses. Brought them, I mean, and give them a promise, you know, in there that he's going to take them to a land. And when they believed God, expectation, they borrowed vessels and borrowed gold and moved out. Faith came to them people. See, that's what the scripture Paul says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the word God is speaking to you. You know, people have spoke words to me out of the Bible before, and there was no power in them for me. Didn't mean that they didn't have it, and they did. But when God speaks a word to you, there's power to you. When God quickens that Bible to you, that's why you need. We must be students of the word. We must meditate on the word all the time, day and night. He told Joshua. He said, "Because you'll make your way prosperous." But I'm noticing something really, really dangerous that's happening today in this society. And the Lord spoke to me. I was in the bathroom, quickened me right quick. He said, even ministers, he said, they try to come up with ways of being good and trying to get people saved and blah, 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 you know. He said, when I am the Lord their God, he said, people change, churches change, he said, ministries change, he said, culture changes. He said, but I don't change. Malachi says, I am the Lord your God, and I do not change. He don't change. God don't change, ever. He has no need to change. He's perfect. He's complete. I mean, he's all-knowing. He's all-sufficient. He has no need to change. This culture tries to change God to fit their image. The world. They try to fit. See, I read all through the Bible. I found out in the Bible that I was created by God. And evolution tried to teach me different, but it didn't work. Why? Because I already knew what God said. See, when you know what God says, then when the world or whatever comes your way, it don't change you like it don't change God. Amen? The Word of God don't change. That's one thing that has kept me serving God all of these years, because I realized about 15 years into being born again that I read the scripture and it says the same thing as it did when I got saved. And I thought, man, there's still victory right here 15 years later in this word that God spoke to me 15 years ago. Then I had another little enlightenment that it'll never change. And so because of that, I mean, you know, you've got all kinds of stuff going on in this world right now trying to push God out. More than you ever have seen it in your life in the last 6 years. Trying to push God out of society. And they're working on it hard. Satan is behind a lot of that. But we, as God's people, are not to be discouraged. See, I found out in there that I'm a man. So therefore, the culture can't make me think I don't know really what I am. Because God created me in His image. See how powerful the Word is? Now you've got this pushed on us now, you know, that these babies and these teenagers don't know who they are and all of that, really. And we don't need to be as parents telling them, because they need to identify. And so we had somebody wanting to be a cat in Cleveland school. See what I'm saying? God didn't make cats, humans, cats. So what I'm saying there is, I'm not on all of that. God's word is truth. And God's word will keep you shielded from lies. But if you believe lies, the culture, even the churches, some of them, has integrated into anti-God programs to accommodate people. That is not God. I'm not down in churches and all of that. They still good, Bible-based, believing, God-believing, ain't going to bend. They going to go by the Word of God, and they going to carry the power and the anointing of God. That church is. There's churches all over this planet. And I believe a lot of them are ordained to the Lord. Hallelujah. But darkness, the Bible says in Isaiah 60, it says, darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness will cover the people. He said, but rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen on you. Hallelujah. And he says, they're going to run to us. If you go on and read it in there. They're going to run to where God is. They want to know truth. They want, confusion is of the enemy. And this culture's confused. They have shoved God out. He's coming back into the schools and all of that stuff. But what I'm saying here is God's Word. And God's Word, you know, that I don't use a lot of translations. I check it with the King James. Because some things, they change. And like I heard a preacher preaching today, and he said, a lot of your translations, not all of them, he said, are simply not translations. They are commentaries. What that means is you write a commentary of what you think about Mark chapter 4, Richard, and you give your opinion on it. That's a commentary. So some of them says, Mac, we just need to try to serve Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. We don't try to serve him. But God, we give our heart to him, and we are selling out to him daily. We're dying out to ourselves daily. We're not going to be into this culture. I'm going to prosper, Georgie. Amen. The Bible says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And if you're his servant, I don't care what the world says and criticizes. I'm criticized for prospering, but I work with my own hands that I have to give, and I give people that need all the time. I do it because the Bible told me to do it down there when I didn't have nothing to give. And he said, the Lord quickened that scripture to me. See how powerful the Word of God is? He quickened that to me. He made it real to me. He said, work with your own hands to have to give to them that need. I had to renew my mind to that because I thought, no, I got to work and pay my light bill, and we want to have fun, and we want to go out on the boat and this and that. And I've done all of that doing that word. Look, we can't build that building that God wants us to have if he don't prosper us. We can go to the bank and borrow a couple hundred, $300,000 and make $500 a month payments, and $2,000 of that be interest. We're not going to do that. What I'm saying is, I believe whatever God tells you to do personally, or you can have personally, you believe him, find your scripture that's based on the Word of God, that's not contrary to God's Word, and you believe God for it. And you believe him to prosper you. The Bible says that if you're a giver, you cannot be defeated in receiving. I don't care what year it is, what culture it is. You know, and they're calling for equality in the government right now, equality. You can't find that word in my Bible. That means, I find in my Bible, God said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Well, we're not going to be into the culture. That's what I'm saying. These tough issues that's out there that the world and all of that puts pressure on us. Look, they put pressure. I've got pressure because I know that a lot of them are ordaining people as ministers they should not be ordaining. I just heard one today. He, she, Had the pulpit barefoot, cap on, and said that Jesus wasn't perfect, and he brought out the scripture where Jesus said it's not good to give my bread to the dogs, the children's bread to the dogs. He said, "See, if he had never messed up, he would have never called nobody a dog." And I thought, he's stupid. He is stupid. He don't know the culture back then. That wasn't like punching her in the nose, calling her like we think dog. He was just letting her, and her faith got it. You know, if you ain't really in tune with God and know God and study the Word and ask God to help you, that stuff will get you. That little bitty flea right there will bite you. It'll get you to believe that Jesus was not sinless. If he wasn't, we doomed. Buddy, he took on the sin of the world. He never sinned. He never got out of faith. He never missed the mark. I mean, he fulfilled God's will and brought redemption. You know, and then, you know, I've heard people say, and I've preached here before, but I'm gonna recap a little bit on it. You know, I've heard people say before, you know, we're not under the law. What they mean is the Old Testament is no good anymore. That is a lie from the pits of hell. God, when Jesus, put that Mark 4 up there, Beth. We'll show you what Jesus said. Snap, that's not it. That's not it. Just forget it. Take it off. But anyhow, I had you write it down wrong probably. But it's where Jesus was led up by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Y'all remember to be tempted of the devil after he was baptized? Luke 4. I'm sorry. I had it wrote down wrong. Put it up there. That'll be good. I want you to see the Word. But Satan came to Jesus. He said, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when there were ended, he afterward hungered, and the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus said, answered him. See, when Satan comes, you got to answer him. I mean, you just don't cow down. You answer him. He said, and Jesus answered him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. That's very important right here. Because Jesus did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Philippians, Ephesians. That didn't exist. The New Testament books that me and you read did not exist when Jesus said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth, that shall man live, out of the mouth of God. Paul wrote it this way, he said, all Scripture. He didn't say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, all Scripture is written inspiration by the Holy Spirit, by holy men of God, breathed out of God to them. And so if you do away with the Old Testament, we're not under the law, Johnny. Jesus even said it himself. He said, I come not to destroy the law, but that he fulfilled all the demands of the law in the old covenant. That's all that changed. He was the ultimate sacrifice to seal all the blessings of God, salvation and everything that me and you need on this side of heaven to be fulfilled. But Jesus says, as is written. I was listening to that minister today and he was talking about that. You know, I say it this way. What does God's Word say? I just took it that way instead of saying, what it's written. Is it written? Is it written? I say, what's God's Word say? Or I think what this same man 30 years ago that I was listening to today, he made a statement that I had never thought of and integrated it into my life. And still do it today. He said, why do you believe what you believe? And what you believe, is it in line with Scripture? He said, you need to check what you believe with the Scripture. If it don't line up with the Scripture, then get rid of it. Well, that's why when sickness and disease attacks my body in any way, I go and say, what does God's word say about it? And then I don't have to go search it. I know what it says. So I tell Satan, it is written down in this Bible, in Isaiah 58, that by his stripes I'm healed. Or Isaiah 53. And 1 Peter 2:24, by them stripes he took over there over 2,000 years ago, I am healed. And then I just begin to praise God, and Satan has to leave me for a more opportune time. He'll send somebody in my path that's got them symptoms and all that. And if he's really after me on it to get the word out of my heart and stop coming out of my mouth, he'll put somebody in my path, Satan will. He'll set me up that's got some symptoms or whatever, and they'll begin to talk about how bad it is. I've had that to happen. Well, just like here, you know, the word of God in Ephesians 6, it says that it is the sword of the Spirit. The sword, the Holy Spirit. The word is what the Holy Spirit uses. There is an answer for every problem, every challenge that is on this planet or ever will be in that Bible. An answer. Schaumbach used to say it, he'd be preaching, he'd say, if you've got a problem, he said, if it's your kids wayward, he said, you give them to God. He said, and God has a way to bring them out. God has a way to turn it around. You know why? He knows the word of God, that our God don't fail. When you go in prayer and you believe God like we did for you, we are going to hear you tell us what we prayed for. I ain't in here just to have come down here, waste my time. I could be in bed early. Right? Man, I come down here to unify. I come down here to put out what God gives me, but to take it to myself before I come here and say, that's mine. Well, you know what? I read the scripture. I've got it. Beth can put it up there, the Psalms. I know I wrote it down right, 23:1-6 maybe. You hang on to God's word. Yes. People attack tithing. Well, preachers just want, don't listen to all that stupid junk that's coming from the powers of dark. I'm going to tithe, Richard. I bring my tithe money to this church. I do it. I've been tithing to this church for 24 years. I tithed to my church for 8 before I left that church. And I heard it all the time, and I realized, Satan, you're trying to get me to be contrary to the word of God. Satan does not want you in line with God. He don't want you. Why? Because he knows that God's results are unstoppable to him. When you are in him like you are, your life is hidden in God through Christ. And you are a doer of that word, Sandy. I mean, hatred tries to take you over at times. People do you wrong and all of that. And you just stand up and say, I forgive like Jesus forgave. I forgive before anybody ever does anything to me. Therefore, if anybody comes and does me wrong, I told Teresa the other day, I said, they can't nobody rob me, take money, not pay me back or anything because I'm a sower. I done learned how to sow it to them. And I done learned how to reap from God for my sowing. The Bible says, you got to know scripture. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. The only way you're going to faint, get upset with them. Get unforgiveness over $20 or $100 or $1,000 or $500 or a reeling rod. These things are tactics of the devil. They're tactics. But see, the Bible says that me and you as Christians, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Not ignorant. If you get in that Bible, You know, when you read that Bible, just do daily, read your Bible daily, you might not understand nothing, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit takes what you're reading because you're making it important, you're giving it importance in your life. He takes that and deposits it in your spirit without you knowing it. Then whenever you come to a place to where you need a word from God about something, you've done put it in, and it's been deposited in there by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, it might be in your situation a desperate one. No weapons formed against you will prosper because you read it. Yeah. And then that's all you need for that moment. You don't need money to pay that bill that's pressing. You don't need nothing else. You need to stand on that and say, glory to God, thank you, Lord. Tell Satan, it is written. No weapons formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that says I'm not going to make it, I condemn. I slap it down. Me and Teresa never did that sermon, slap it down. We should have made a sermon out of that, slap it down. Satan comes up to you and says you ain't going to make it, slap it down. He says your life ain't going to ever be good, slap it down. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. He said, I shall not. Are y'all afraid to say that? People's mind just go to money. Now, I think sometimes I need wisdom to deal with BFI or whatever I'm dealing with. You know, endurance is one of them things that Satan can't do. He can't persistently stay against me. He's not like God. He's not everywhere all the time. And he knows he's under my feet, so he tries to trick me. He can't come to me and say, you're not saved. I'll say, what? You're stupid, man. You think I'm even going to give out a thought? No. He comes to me now, and he can tell me some of y'all don't like me, and I'll say, no, you're stupid. It'd have done been gone if they didn't like me. You're lying. You know. But he will. He's told people before. He knew about me, preaching straight to me, like God ain't in the house. Like God ain't got you, like God ain't trying to help you or something. What do you think? We're going to come before an almighty God and we don't know nothing or know what's going on, know what's happening in our life, and Satan's just ripping it apart, and God not have somebody to give us something? God is a good God. I mean, I went to a service one time when I was behind on everything, and they telling me I'm going to live on the streets, basically. They're telling me that, and I went to a service, you know, and I mean, I'm at the end of myself. I'm like, I've done everything I know to do, you know, but I'm going to go to service. I'm going to go there. And I went to that service, and it got to the end of it, and the Lord said, let your pastor pray for you. My pastor didn't know nothing, Johnny. I told him nothing. He knew nothing at that moment. About my life. Because I feel like if God loves me and God is faithful to me and the word is testing me, then I don't need everybody praying for me. I need to pass the test. Stand firm in the Lord. And so he's praying for, and I don't know what's going on. I done told God, if you'll send all the money, I'll pay them all. I'll fly over yonder and pay that company. I'll get a plane. And I've told God all of that, promising him all of that, and nothing's changing. And I go into that service, and I'm telling you this for a reason. When you are in major trouble or don't know what to do or anything like that, don't quit on God. Just don't quit. Just don't give up. I go to service. Last thing, Samantha, I wanted to do, I wanted to go get drunk. I wanted to go borrow the money from somebody and buy me a bag of pot. I couldn't even buy a bag of pot. But I went in there and he prayed for me. He said, I see you in quicksand. I thought, great, man, I already knew that. And I done wiggle till I'm up to my nose, man, you know, in quicksand, and there's nothing to get me out. I mean, it was terrible where I was at. And it wasn't because I'm coming to church preaching everything. Anyways, He said, in this quicksand is God. I thought, great, God's got me in quicksand. That's terrible. I'm on the way home and I'm thinking, what the crap does that mean? It got me in quicksand. I'm in quicksand, and this quicksand's got to go home and tell Teresa. I tell her, I'm like, oh, how you get out? He didn't tell me how to get out, but he told me it was him. I get back home and I tell Teresa, and she says, you've got to get in agreement with God. See, I wouldn't make choices because I couldn't see how I could do it. That was not faith. In the minute that I did make those choices, what I'm telling you is God knows where you're at. He wants you to believe this right here. He is your shepherd. You shall not want. That don't mean you're not going to have troubles. That don't mean you're not going to have devils. That don't mean you're going to have everybody loves you and never criticize. It's not going to happen. If you're going to stand in the freedom where Christ Jesus has made you free, you are going upstream from the world. You are contrary out in the world, so your life gets on people's nerves. It's not your fault. In school, don't be ashamed of Jesus. I told somebody one time, I said, go on over there and preach. I said, if you go to jail, I said, I'll come over and get you out. I'll just pay for everything. They put my poster up in Blount County Jail one time. After I'd been there, and they didn't want me back. You know, winning people to the Lord and stuff in there, you know. And I just made the statement, and Satan heard it. I said, we'll go back to the jail and everything. She goes to work, then the day or two later, she went to church. We was in the back part, and they had my poster up, don't let him in. And I'm like, what do I do, man? I ain't done nothing to them, you know. And I told Satan, I said, you think that stupid stuff's going to work on me? I done been down there in front of all of them. They hauled me to jail and all that, and I got in there and preached because God said I could. I told Satan, I said, you're not intimidating me. Give me some free advertisement down there at the jail where when I get there, they'll all just come get born again right quick. Amen. See, you can't look at your critics as destroying you. Satan will advertise for you. Free advertisement. It'll sound like it's not good for you, but the Bible says in Romans 8:28, anybody know what it says? For we know that God works all things. So you need that. That's your ammunition. You need that word. You need to be able to say that word, quote that word to Satan without having to go say. I mean, you go to Satan and say, hey, wait a minute. Brother Scotty preached last night. What was that he preached? Oh, yeah, it was something like that. That's not good enough. You need to know the Word of God. See, you love Jesus, and you'll die for Him. It's on the inside of you. Christ works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's on the inside of you. But God wants you winning people from Satan. God wants you leading people in to prosperity and to peace and to joy and a good life. God wants you, some of you are standing in the way of Satan and your people. Some of you are holding the line for God to move in your family. I believe I am, Nita. They not acknowledge, I don't need no acknowledgement. I just know stories in the Bible like Joseph. They sold him. The brothers sold him out. Sold him out. Went into slavery for a lot of years. But in the end, God brought him out. He served God all in prison and prospered him in prison, put him in the palace in prison and put him over the prison and put him over the king. It was over the prison. God did all of that. Then brought him out, and at the end, his whole family went to him, and he fed them all in a famine. And I thought, God, I read that in the Bible. If that's me, God, I want it. If I'm going to be a lifeline, I'm a lifeline to this church. Hallelujah. Prophesied to me 20-some years when I didn't understand none of it. He prayed for me and he said, I've never seen it like this. He said, I see a stake being drove down. He said, and that stake is you. And I thought, man, I know it is. I had a little bitty trials at work, Johnny, at that time, you know. But it was big. Them trials was big then. He said, and this lifeline holds the church up, a tent, a huge, you know, and me and Teresa leave, and we didn't know what it meant, so we put the prophecy on the shelf. We're like, wonder what he's talking about. What in the world's that, man? But we knew the man was of God. Then later on, here the church was birthed. And then she goes and gets that out, and 8 years later, we understood it. 8 years after that was prophesied. And you know what? It wasn't about me, Richard. I mean, I had good ministry. It's about you, and it's about all those we're reaching all over the world, and their life, and their salvation, and their kids, and their families, and their grandkids, because God, when God moves in, He brings transformation. Hallelujah. He transforms, hallelujah. And me and you, we need to be students of the Word of God, like we are, knowing it, because the Bible, so like I said, the Bible says that it is the sword of the Spirit. That's one of the weapons. Take the shield of faith. Without the Word, you don't have no faith. When you don't know God's will, you can't have faith. Once you know God's will, faith is there. Once I acknowledge the gospel that Jesus really died for me and He loved me and He would help me, I called on Him. And when I did, that faith, believing that, came into my life. And I've even backslid, Georgie. People says you can't backslide. If you ain't going forward, you're backing up. You got to be in reverse, right? And I even backslid one time, and it's just like God won't leave you alone. He just won't leave you alone. You're not happy. You're not satisfied. You get miserable on the inside. I don't care what you're doing. You get miserable. Then you realize, man, what Psalmist said, he said, Lord, if I go to hell, you're there. I go to heaven, you're there. He's everywhere, Mac. So the Word of God, after you're born again, is the most, it's like going to college for somebody. That's priceless that you, me and Teresa used to buy books and tapes and all of that because we knew that the kingdom of God was in us and we was going to plant stuff in the kingdom. But Paul said, know ye not that the kingdom is in you. It's in you. Power to lay hands on the sick. That's why he challenges you with sickness and stuff all the time. Not your body, I'm talking about people around. See, but there's one thing. You can't believe based on what you see. Half of the church can die with cancer and you can lay hands on somebody and get somebody healed if they'll believe. Yeah. It's not based on none of that. But he says, he makes me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's mine. Is it yours? Amen. Whatever, Teresa played that song Sunday morning, whatever you need, he's got it. She brought out how God seen us before we're born. I know we can hear these things, but not let it get in here and become a reality that God, you knew me. You knew what my life was going to be if I come to you. You knew. You knew that you was going to use me. Some of y'all, he's going to use you to go to the streets and the jails and the prisons and even probably pastor. And when he begins to reveal it to you, you're like, me? Are you serious? Are you sure, God? Are you sure, God? I'm still saying it 33 years later. Are you sure it was me? I know it was now, God. You showed me after I began to walk and do. You showed me the things that you was wanting to bring to pass. I'm sitting here in this whole building. I couldn't sit here long because the floor was out. There was no ceiling here, just an old building. And God had told me to use this as a church. And I'm sitting here and, and with hardly any money at all, and to remodel all of this and put heat and coolings and drop ceilings. And I would sit here on that bucket until I got discouraged, and I would get up and I would leave because it was overwhelming me. How can I do this, God, that you're asking me to do, Lord? And then he asked me to give him the building. And I said, well, you know, I mean, that ain't fair. Let the people pay me my money back for the building, and I'll give it to you, though. He said, and then the Lord said, see, that's the way he's asking you. Won't you tithe? Won't you put your part in? I'm not talking about just here. I believe all of you do. I'm talking to people all over. What's wrong with you putting $50, $60, $100 every now and then in the church that's reaching, preaching the gospel? Satan's in an onslaught trying to get people not to tithe and not to partner. We're fixing to start a ministry where they can see it all over. They mail us checks occasionally out of Georgia and different places, you know. Now they're wanting to know that they want to give, but a lot of people don't write. Some people, they don't write checks. So we're fixing to move that ministry in there so they can partner with us. Not that we want money. We don't even know what we need. All we know is we're going forward, and when God sweeps with a draw, and there's people going to flood, there's not enough churches. I don't care how long a church is set there with 30 members. That's got nothing to do with your vision. Sure, all of them want some full, but do we? Yeah. The Bible says that when the stalls are clean, there ain't no manure in there. But when the ox is full, plenty of mess. All that is equipping us. Saying, okay, we're getting built up now. I believe y'all, all of y'all are pillars in this church that God sent here. And wherever you're at, your church. And if you ain't in church, you cannot be a pillar. You got to get in church somewhere, get planted. And the Bible says those that are planted, not those that are rolling around from church to church hunting the fire. You're not going to find it. That fire has to be within. Revival starts within a man. Not from out of a service and boom you up, beam me up, Scotty, and then, run around everywhere trying to catch fire. Now, you get on fire yourself, and every church that God sends you to, you will fire them up. You will have something for them. Preacher told me one time, he said, you want people to come see you, hear you preach? He said, get on fire. So I thought, well, hey, get on fire, man. So I started fasting and started praying and seeking God. Then I would go on the streets, and they come in with quilts, and it's sleeting and snowing, begging me not to stop every Friday night. You know, come on, keep coming. I'm like, man, I'm froze up here. It's going to get so cold, I freeze up trying to preach. Well, what I'm saying there, it wasn't me, Drew. I ain't even a year old in the Lord, but I love Jesus. And I'm going out there and I'm learning as quick as I can to me the Bible, not to go preach. I'm being a student of the Word. I'm meditating on it, fighting my personal battles. I'm just fighting my personal battles, but I didn't know every battle that I was fighting in faith was building me up to be able to fight for others. I didn't realize it, but I do now. And so people would come, and they come in on this one lady. That's why the preaching of the gospel. See, I was from a church. I was an evangelist, but I was planted at a church. That's why I believe evangelists, prophets, they ought to have a home church. A house church, not in their home. They need to be imparting. They need to be imparting what God's given them. Because if a man or a woman has a gift, it's not for them. The gifts are given to the church, to the body. So my calling and my anointing and all that, in that manner, is not for me. It's to go and do what God says to build up the body. Every one of y'all ought to be believing God to make you super wealthy. Not so you can have four or five trucks, five backhoes. I done been through all that. I never put none of that before God, and He gave it all to me. I never neglected the church over none of that stuff, pontoons or anything, and I have enjoyed it. But, you know, just like I told the Lord, we've got the land. Me and Travis bought that land together, went with to Him the other day, and Teresa just throwed it out there, which I done went to God, you know, with that land. And I told the Lord, because I can't get where God wants us to have the building or build the building or what of that. I don't know. All I know is we're going to get one. And so I went to the Lord a couple of 3 years ago, and I told Him, I said, God, You gave us that property up there. I said, Lord, if You want that, if You want everything wiped off of there and You want to build a church there, I will give You that land, sir. And I told Travis the other day, I was telling Travis the other day, and Teresa had brought it up, you know, and what if God wants it there? Because I went and walked down this compound. I drove through the big gates and all of that and went on it. And I'm looking on the inside. God, is this it? You know, where the big bank used to be, down there before you get to Jackson, and all of that property, where it would take Mac, he'd just be full-time mowing. He'd start on Monday and end on Friday and take the weekend off and start back on Monday. Now, I'm being funny there. But it's not it. I'm not. And I told Travis, I said, it's either not it or it's not time. And I'm not going to try to knock that door down. Whenever you want to know God is wanting you to do something, don't make doors happen. Don't just push and push and push. You know, you wait on the Lord. I mean, just wait on Him and trust Him. Hallelujah. Well, I told Travis the other day, I told him what me and Teresa said. And he said, well, Dad, you know, whatever. Half of it's His. He said, well, Dad, you know, whatever. He said, if God wants a church up there, we'll just do it. And I told him, I looked at him, and this is the point I'm making to you. I looked at him and I said, that's why God would give it to you. That's why God would put it. I said, because God knew your heart would be willing to give it to Him. He may not ever have a set one up there. I don't know. You know? But I'm not going to move till I hear the word of the Lord. We will occupy here. I'll build out that way to where we have to walk in the ditch to get around to get in before I'll move without God. You understand that? I mean that. I will not move without Him. Because whatever He says in your life and my life, praise God, He'll do it. And I'm believing God for you to hear from the Lord. That's why you acknowledge the Lord. When you get in a challenge, don't call Facebook and put it on there. Call on the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord. And say, Lord, are there anything I need to be doing? Are there anything I need to be saying, Lord? Are there anything I need to be confessing, you know, over this situation? Go to Him, acknowledge Him. And if He don't give you a word, stand. I mean, just stand. Say, glory to God, it'll happen. It'll happen, praise God. Psalmist David said it this way. He said, Lord, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know, and you know, far as you prospering, God's already supplied everything you'll ever need. All you got to do is learn to trust Him. I mean, learn to trust Him. You don't worry. Don't worry about Deborah. Don't let it worry. Period. Just don't do it. Tell that devil, I'm not crossing that. He can't get you anxious if he can't worry you. He can't get you wondering what's going to happen and all that if he can't get you to worry. But all you do is say, nope, glory to God, ain't no weapon formed against us will prosper. I know what she means to you. I mean, God has brought a journey in your life that is amazing to you. Out of your own mouth you tell us that. I ain't talked to you. You tell us that. You ain't never experienced a family like a lot of us have. But you have experienced it now because he brought you into a kingdom family and then showed you what you missed, and I mean making it up to you quick and big time. See, now that's not little to me. That's a testimony of the goodness of my God. What if I'd have quit on God? You might not be where you're at if I hadn't have been here that day through that food line or whatever the case. And you, all of you, we made it happen. I'm talking about the food thing. God didn't snap his fingers and make all that happen. God told us what to do. We picked up the torch and labored and believed. I was going in the box truck today, and man, I just hammering that box truck. And I, you know, with air conditioning on, radio blasting, big old 24-foot box truck. But I always praise him. Because the one before that, I'd have to shut it off because the transmission wouldn't shift. Shut it off, and then the battery wasn't that sharp. So I believe God, I'd pray in tongues on the side of the road, and I believe God for it to crank back up where it would shift out because I couldn't run but 25. So I did that for a couple of years. So I understand hardship on your journey. But you know what? He was faithful to all the way through that old box. That was a great challenge to me. I'd come and everybody would be like, "Ooh, Brother Scotty," it'd make me want to go, "You're going next month. Don't clap. Take up an offering." So see, Sandy, that's what I believe David, he said, "I killed a lion. I killed a bear with my bare hands. And this Philistine ain't nothing. This Philistine's just like them. They don't have a covenant with God like I have. So let me go." That's the way we all ought to be. Here we are, God, send us. Don't be afraid you're going to have to quit your job. He'll make you a millionaire if he has to, if he needs you to quit your job. He said, "Lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him." And I'm telling you, praise God, the best of our life, Mac, is ahead of us. I don't care what it looks like. Our time, far as the goodness of God, is not running out. The Bible says, going down that last verse 6, thou prepared, no, verse, yeah, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me." How about you? "All the days of my life." And he said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hallelujah. Teresa asked me, we was riding Saturday, and I'm going to close with this. She asked me when I was off doing stuff, and she said, "Do you ever see us not pastoring? Do you ever see yourself not pastoring the church?" I didn't have to think about it because I done thought about it. And I told her, I said, "Nah." I said, "Honestly, never can see it." I said, that's what we are. That fulfills us. This fulfills us. Her coming to minister Sunday school, she's one of the most anointed, I didn't say the only one, one of the most anointed teachers that I've ever heard. She wouldn't tell you that, but I will. And I sat back here, you know, and believed that women couldn't preach back yonder before I got scriptural with what I believed and found out in the scriptures how it was, not based on no denomination or no opinion or no person, the Bible. And I found them all through the Bible that God used to partner with Jesus, with ministries, go tell the disciples, the first one, woman, all that. The Word convinced me that God can use whoever he wants to use, that God is God. And I'm not going to take one scripture in the Bible and make a full-blown doctrine out of it. You know. But anyways, I told her, I said, "Nope." I said, "I can't never see it." And I'll probably quit garage doors one day. Don't know, when God gets ready, I might be 90. He can strengthen you until you're 90. I told Travis the other day, he ain't in no hurry for me to quit, because I do all the work. He tells Mama that he does all the work, but we know the difference. I told him the other day, I said, you know what? I said, I pay you good. I said, but there could come a day where, you know, I just split it with you. I just go partners with you. And I looked at him and I said, but you're going to have to work more. Right? You get more money, you go work more, right? I told him, I said, you got to go check jobs and all. He's like, nah, I'm okay. You're okay if money don't rule you. He believes the blessing. I've taught him his whole life. Jesus done taught him now, got revelation now. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You need to have it too. God, your blessing on my life makes me wealthy, is going to make me wealthy and add no sorrow to me. Right? Lord, you bless the works of my hands and it prospers me working. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, check what you believe with the Word of God. I don't care if I'm preaching something that's contrary to the Word of God, I need you to confront me. I need you to come to me and say, well, I mean, Samantha, she put a scripture up there in the prayer and praise, and it didn't mean nothing. It wasn't all that bad. But I didn't like a verse in it or something. I don't remember what it was.
Word difference, like you were saying, they changed the word to make it not.
Yeah, it was word difference, you know. And I come in and I seen that, and I thought, that's not good. And so I just simply went and told her, I said, I need that changed. And she just said, yes, sir. And she just went and changed it, you know. I've had them do that and just leave and never come back. Who does he think he is? He's a dictator. Ain't no dictator. We're not going to get no unbelief in no word. We've chunked songs up there. I mean, we've chunked songs in there. We ain't got no money, but Lord, we got you. Boy, that is not a spiritual song. We ain't got no money. We got food on the table. We ain't got no money. Why would you want to confess that? Why would you want to? That's not even scriptural. So y'all got quiet there. Boy, you blow some churches out with that. Oh, good Lord, don't get all spiritual on us. Man, we're supposed to be spiritual. We're supposed to be spiritually minded. We're supposed to pick up on them things that come to us, like the Word of God out there. Women's not supposed to be with women according to the Bible. Now, I'm not going to go blast them. Y'all live your life the way you want to. Go to Leviticus. God ain't changed. Men ain't supposed to be lying with men and men with animals and women with animals. And all of that's in your Bible. The Bible's very clear. If the government would take Leviticus and just lay it out like the forefathers, they would say, this is not, we're not paying no money to this. Sign it right here. Poof! And let the world cry. The Bible says, come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. I'll receive you unto myself, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Hallelujah. And he is. And he will prosper. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father God. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to come into your presence, God. Thank you for your holy word, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, that we will be built up in your word, Father God. We will put it in and meditate on it, Father God. And we will resist anything that is contrary to it in our hearts and in our minds, Father God. We will have no other God before you in our hearts, God. And I praise you for everyone here, Lord. Is there anyone here tonight you're sick in your body and you want prayer? I want to pray for you. Come on. Come on up here. Anybody sick in your body, praise the Lord.